many of you like people? Do you like people? Who didn't raise their hand? I'm sorry, Lindsay, he doesn't like you. What a revelation to get today. I got saved. And I remember after I got saved, I went to a barber that also knew the Lord. But he didn't believe that you could know you were saved. And the reason was that he thought it was a license to sin. And so in my fellowship with him, I really came to that same conclusion. But it was not from the Word of God. And it was probably a year later, I sat down with who was a missionary of ours, Brother Tom Peace. And he asked me the question, Jane, do you know if you died, you go to heaven? And I says, well, I think so. And he says, let me show you a couple things. And I remember he took me to Romans 10:13. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Does that say might be? Not at all. And it was at that moment I realized my salvation was from God and not for how I behaved. And I'm glad today to have a no-so salvation. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It goes on to say, everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. And that is our faith. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there are some things that we can know. Thank you, O God, for the Word of God and the promises that you have given us throughout this marvelous Word. Speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I know there are many in this room, maybe all, who know Christ as their Savior. But some struggle at times with wondering how true it is. And I pray, O God, that you would help us to have a clarity of thought in this matter and a realization that there are some things that are true in the lives of those who are born of God. Bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When I study the book of 1 John, I find that there are two great purposes for the writing of it. In 1 John 1, verse 4, it says it, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. God wants us to have a fullness of joy. And so one of the purposes of John is to teach us that. Matter of fact, in the next few verses, we find that he talks about if any man sin, that we can go to the Father, we can get forgiveness of sin. And then here in verse number 13 of the book of 1 John, if you drop down to it, and he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I often wondered, why did he repeat that at the end, that ye may believe? Well, when you know something, it gives you greater belief of something. If you're a child of God, your salvation isn't a hope-so one, but it is a know-so one. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Because I have sinned against God, and if I have turned from Him, listen, He doesn't throw me away. I am still His. And though my children at times did things that made me very unhappy, I did not take away their last name. I used their first two names a lot, but never took away the last. Now there are some who will say that they feel saved. And I want to say this about that. The things of God are not about your feelings, but your knowing. Listen, you can't feel something that you don't know. If you don't know there's food in your mouth, you're not going to taste the food in your mouth. If you don't know some things, you're not going to feel those things. And so God wants us to know some things. And I find here in 1 John that there are five tests. I would call them tests, whereby you can know you are saved. Five things I believe that He teaches us that we might know we're saved. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean by the word saved? Well, I believe what we know mean by that word is very simple. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us deserve to die and to go to hell. But Jesus saved us from that if we will only but believe. As I mentioned a little bit ago, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's realizing you're doomed to death for your transgression. We find back in the book of Acts chapter 16 that there was a Philippian jailer present at the time that God opened the doors, took off the shackles of all the prisoners. What that meant was he was doomed to die because he did not do what he was supposed to do. But what we find as we read that story is that Jesus had released them, but had kept them in their place. And nobody escaped. And what we find then is something very important. Though he was doomed to death, the Apostle Paul had preached the word unto him, and he got saved. It is believing on Jesus who died for you. Now let's stop and think about these tests. How can I know I'm saved? How can I have a know-so salvation? It's not faith in God alone. Some people say we've got to believe God. We have to believe God. But do you realize the devils believe in His existence and in His power? In James 2:19 it says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Listen, it's faith in Jesus being the Christ. Go back to verse number 1 of chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also, that begotten of Him. It is believing in Him and in the fact that He is the Messiah. He's the Anointed One. Or, in other words, He is our King. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you do not believe that He's the Anointed One, I will say very simply, you're not saved. We need to believe who He is. And believing in His deity is essential. As it mentions there, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And then we find it'll be in a different form, but it talks about children of God, or children of God. It is essential for us. Even in the days of apostles, we find that there were those people who believed he was made Christ at his baptism. They didn't believe that he was actually of God until that time. I don't know if you realize this, but there are still people who believe and teach that. But you realize Scripture is very clear, for we find that he was born the Christ. It tells us in chapter 1 of Matthew, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And so, do we believe in him as our Christ? I would also think about, there's the love test. In chapter 1, as we look there, chapter 5, excuse me, and the latter part says, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You put that with 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now I find this very interesting. This is a very specific love. It's a love that we could call love of the brethren. It's for one another. And if that is not real in our life, if we're not comfortable being around God's people, if we would rather be in the things of the world, then I would have to say that the salvation that you possess is not real. Love for the brethren begins at salvation and with a newfound desire to be with them. By the way, we call that church. And we'd love to be together. Listen, we come together, we sing the same old songs, but I'm glad that there's a lot of them. We read the same scriptures, but there's more than we can understand. We have friendships here within, and yet we do not fully know those that are there. And so we gather together to have that enhanced in our hearts and our lives. This love, by the way, isn't just saying, I love you. But I think it's like the love of the Lord when he says, for God so loved the world. You ever think about that word so? That's a word of eternity. It's not something that's fixed, but it's that which is marvelous and wonderful. So we find that this love is that which is like the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he what? I can't hear you, and my hearing aids are on too. For God so loved the world that he what?
He gave.
Of course, we know he gave his son. But think about love as that which is given. I would say that there's another test that we could find from the Word of God. And if you turn back to John chapter 3, and we'll look at verse number 9. By the way, all of these verses, we find that it talks about being born of God. In verse number 9, it says, whosoever is born of God. Whosoever is born of God, what does it say? Doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot, because he is born of God. I would call this the righteousness test. And perhaps this verse is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. And many people look at this and they say, I'm born of God and I can't sin, and therefore I'm perfect. Well, listen, dear husband, ask your wife if she believes that. Ask your mother or father if they believe that. And we find right away that all of us, we have certainly sinned even after we're saved. And I find something else too. In 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Is there a conflict here? I don't think so, but let's look at it. He goes on to say that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if this is so, and we find that all Christians are perfect or sinless, or there's something else that we need to understand. When you go back to chapter 3 and verse 9, there's a real big key there. It says, his seed remaineth in him. There is something abiding in the heart of the true Christian, which the apostle here calls seed. It's that which will prevent us from sinning, but also when we find ourselves doing wrong, we want to come back and follow 1 John 1, 9, that he is faithful and just to forgive us. This passage must either mean that they who are born of God, that is, who are true Christians, do not sin habitually or characteristically, or that everyone who is a true Christian is absolutely perfect and never commits sin. God wants us to know that we are in that position where his seed remaineth in us. And then we find in chapter 5 and verse number 18, if you would turn there. Chapter 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and not that wicked one toucheth him not. Another, I believe, test is the keeping test. Another difficult verse if we don't observe the context. You go back to verse 16 and 17. It says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for that one not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is not sin, and there's a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Difficult verse. There is a sin unto death, a sin which is of such character that it throws the offender beyond the reach of mercy. Now, most people would stop and say, this is the unpardonable sin. But I don't believe that we're talking about the unpardonable sin here as much as saying there is a sin that is not going to allow mercy in your life. For instance, you can be saved and steal from the bank. And what is going to take place? You're going to put in jail just like anybody else. If you kill somebody, we find from the Word of God that there is to be no mercy, but they are to be put to death. I find that highly interesting. Do you realize that there are, I believe it's 16 different sins that God in the Old Testament said the person who commits them is to be put to death? By the way, just in simple terms, young people, one of those is mouthing off to your parents. Would that change a few things in our country if we followed that? But certainly we find that there are things that will put us in this place of no mercy. This sin is likely that which requires a death penalty. And then there is the test of victory. In chapter 5 and verse 4, it's one of my favorite verses. For whatsoever is born of God, what's it say? Overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This victory comes as we trust in Christ to overcome or not allow the world to rule over us. It's one that I believe is one of the settled maxims of religion, that every man who is a true Christian gains a victory over the world. And consequently, as a maxim, that where the spirit of the world reigns supremely in the heart, there is no true religion. And so we need to stop and look. What is the rule in our hearts and our lives? Is the things of the world or the things of God? By the way, if this be a true principle, how many professed Christians are there who are strangers to all the claims of piety? For how many are there who are wholly governed by the spirit of this world? It's good for us to look. Is it the spirit of Christ that directs us, or is it the spirit of the world? In verse 1, it was a faith in Jesus being the Messiah. Here it is a faith in Jesus as the Son of God, meaning that as we believe in Him as the Son of God, we are believing in the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. Where are we at? Can you look at these tests and find great comfort? Or do you look at these tests and find there's a problem? I would say to you this morning, if there's a problem, let's take care of it. Let's take care of it. In a moment, one of the pianists is going to come. And as they play, I'm going to ask you, if you have not passed these tests, to come and get things right with God, that you might say, I know so in my salvation. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much that we have this privilege to know our salvation. Lord, I thank you for the feeling that comes as a result of knowing. I pray, oh God, if there be one here this morning that their feelings go up and down, I pray that they might look at your word and that they might come to the realization they could know. Bless in these moments, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.